Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Oh, my goodness, I had a little bit of a glitch there getting on. Thank you for joining our show, Tweaking One's Thoughts and Feelings to Support and Serve Present-Day Realities. Hopefully, this will activate inner empowerment, authenticity, and alignment to one's highest best, which results in manifesting a more serving and supporter outer physically with oneself and others as well. This week's topic is family communications, just in time for the holidays, and talking about how to stay present, connected, and engaging with your family members without attachment to past conditions or paradigms that may exist still within the family unit. We are accepting guest callers today that may want to be coached around the family member issues, and so here we are. Angela, are you here, hon?
I'm here.
Woo, boy. That was really interesting because I use my phone. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I use this phone to work with the other Blog Talks, and for some reason it took me 3 calls to get into our call today. So,
oh, well, you know, you can expect something every call, so.
Yeah. Well, how you feeling, hon? How's it going today? This is a beautiful day before the holidays.
It is. It's going good. Actually, it's really nice out. Nice here. It's not too hot. It's a little, you know, it's a little cool outside. So I'm enjoying the day so far. What about on your end?
Well, we kind of have our fair. We do have wonderful weather, you know, for this time of year. You know, it's kind of a little bit of a natural, you know, weather as far as the temperature because, well, it's kind of getting cooler, I guess you would say, a little cloudy, but still it's nice and bright in certain times. It was really sunny yesterday, and that felt really good. So I'm glad to have that because I know pretty soon, especially with our time change, it's going to get a little bit more rainier and wetter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been hearing from family members back home that it's been raining all. It was raining all weekend. So I miss the rain sometimes, but you know that whole thing about raining or the whole weekend where you can't get out. Yeah, I don't think I miss that too much. But anyway, it looks like we probably have we probably lost Val again. That's interesting. I don't hear her. Well,
I'm here,
honey. Oh, okay.
I was getting a drink of water, so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. So, you know, in setting this time up a little bit, we wanted to share a little bit about why we thought this was an important piece to add to the coaching sessions because of based on our personal experiences, but also. You know, based on what I'm hearing in individual sessions as well regarding communication or with family members. And I can remember, just to segue into this a little bit, I can remember when I left home at 18. And I can remember the first time I visited my family for the holidays. There was a part of me that, you know, felt all grown up and I was living in a different city and far away and I felt really proud of myself and all the accomplishments, and I wanted also to go back home and feel this sense of not only family, but I really wanted them to acknowledge, you know, kind of where I had grown, and so I had this like idealistic picture in my head, I guess. I'm getting ready to go home and packing up, And so as I arrived, I realized that, you know, not so much had changed. I was only, you know, just maybe a year or two before I went back home in that process. And it didn't seem like too much had changed. But also what was interesting, it was the picture in my head that I imagined was not exactly what was taking place around me. You know, the things that I wanted my parents to see or I wanted my siblings to acknowledge wasn't quite what that I received. And so there was a part of me that didn't get acknowledged quite to that degree. And then there was also the similar experiences of chaos and a little bit of dysfunction and stuff that I had moved away from in the first place. That was kind of existing still in that space. And I just thought, wow, you know, what am I going to do with this particular you know, energy? You know, I feel different, but yet I feel the same. And at that point, you know, law of attraction and intentions really wasn't so much around or wasn't a big topic. And so I didn't know how to kind of shift my energy. I didn't even know what energy was like. I didn't know how to shift my thoughts about what I wanted to think about in spite of the appearance of what was going on and all the elements that that was in. And actually, until I started working with this kind of information, the ideal of what I wanted didn't come to realization or even manifestation until I started practicing from changing things from inside and releasing and transforming what I didn't really want to be experiencing with them to what I did want and feel and experience. You know, some of those years throughout included a lot of setting emotional and mental boundaries up about what could be discussed and what couldn't. That was probably the most uncomfortable, I'd say, in kind of teaching how I wanted to be listened to a group of people that had known a whole bunch of parts of me that, you know, had either grown or expanded into something different. And teaching them how to listen to me differently was probably the most uncomfortable experience, because in some of that there was a lot of intense emotions. There was a lot of intense declarations, I'd say, about what I no longer wanted to discuss and what I did, what I would be willing to discuss. So it was, in a way, returning me and returning them to be listened to as a grown-up with someone capable and being productive versus, you know, my parents used to say I was such a dreamer, you know, get my head out of the clouds. And I thought, oh, well, you know, I'm still very much a creative, imaginative dreamer. And yet I felt like I had, you know, put some of those dreams into motion. And so I wanted to feel listened to as productive. And then it just kind of got better as I grew more confident and interdependent in myself. And over time, I started embracing the changes and allowing myself to, you know, acknowledging the way I wanted to be listened to within. Like, I'm going to listen to myself as this and this and this. I'm going to pay attention to my needs and desires. And then I'm going to also allow changes to be a part of the way I listen to other people. You know, I want to listen to them as present as they are. I want to listen to them as capable and as creative and as imaginative, whatever, you know, the elements would be. And it was just through trial and area, trial and discovery through those areas. And then I just started getting my own rhythm to dance with. But I found in giving myself permission to dance that way, I was also giving them permission to be listened to the way that they desire to be listened to as well. And I wasn't so attached or judging where they were at the time. So that was really a significant, it shifted the way that we expressed our love. It shifted the way that we expressed our concern. It created healthier boundaries emotionally and mentally. And it also, we started listening to each other as where we were in our daily lives, because my brothers and sisters and family were all spread out. We were not in the same you know, city. And so we were able to start sharing more about where we were or what, you know, we chose to, you know, talk about And within that frame, we grew a little bit more closer to staying present and listening to us as all grown up rather than the kids that used to do all these things when they were together, you know, based on the house, the childhood memories. So that was really powerful for me. And I work with a lot of people that kind of have to almost go backwards in time in their mind and shift not only their, you know, bring their emotions and their thoughts to where they are now, but kind of start releasing some of those dynamics that keep them getting triggered, you know, when they're with family. I started supporting people as my experiences started shifting. So what do you think? What about you, Angela? What was your biggest experiences around this?
Well, my we never really had for me when I was younger. We never really there was a time when I was really really young where we always have guests over, my mom's friends, and maybe coworkers over for Christmas because we didn't have a really big family, but this whole thing for me around the holidays, and this is something that I just recently started to realize, was that the holidays were never a very good time for me. And it was because it would start around the end of October and the beginning of November, you know, my mother loved the that time of the year. She loved the holidays, but I think there were some things that she was masking or she was hiding from us because she loved the holidays, but then yet it didn't seem like it was a really good time for her because my parents drank a lot. And so for years around that time of the year, it would start up again and it would just get worse and we would have company over and something would happen and people would, it would just end badly and things wouldn't get better until the beginning of the new year. That's when things seemed to slow down. And I put on, I kind of blocked all of that out. I didn't really think about it too much until I had children. And for me, every year at around that time of the year, things would just start to fall apart for me. And I just didn't get it. I didn't understand why. When I look back on it, when I finally got a hold of what was really going on, or try to focus on why this seemed to be a pattern, it seemed like it was happening the same time of the year, and why. And for me, it was just the. I think I absorbed all of that sadness and the. Uncertainty at around that time of the year. For me, it was a time of like I was lost a little bit. It's always been a really difficult time for me. No matter how much I say I want to enjoy it, it's been a difficult time for me. And especially recently, since my mom, the last Christmas we had her, she was in the hospital, and it was in December of 2006. So we don't really go and visit family members all that often, especially now since I'm 2,000 miles away from everybody. But the last couple of times that we did get together with family members and my mom was around, it was always hard for me in that I couldn't. There seemed to be nothing I could do, nothing I could give them. That would make them happy or that they would like, or I couldn't satisfy, or, you know, whatever gifts I gave them, they weren't happy with. They seemed to be like, you know, it was pushed to the side, and it would always kind of affect me, and I would take it personally. But the last Christmas that I had with her and with both my parents together, and my siblings was I had to realize that because of where I am right now, where I was going, and how much I was growing, I was expecting for things to be a little different as far as they were concerned. I wanted them to to see the new me, and you know, and for things to be different. And around the holidays, when we got together, and I wasn't really appreciating the time that appreciating where they were and appreciating the time that I did get to spend with them. And it took a couple of years for me to kind of get used to the fact that, okay, look, I'm growing. And, you know, this is just where they are right now. There's no right or wrong about it. You know, there's no need for me to get upset about them or with them about it. Or there's no need for me to say, well, you know what, I'm just not going to visit them anymore for Christmas. There was no need for that. And once I changed my whole outlook of what our interaction should be like, that shifted a lot of things for me. And I think it was last year, the last Christmas, I spent over at my kids' in-laws' house. I had a really, really good time. And that was the first time that I can say that I had a good time during the holidays in many, many years. And because I wasn't expecting for anybody to do anything, or I wasn't trying to get away from something. I was just going to sit there and enjoy the moment. And so that was a big shift in the last year for me around the, you know, interacting with family members during the holidays.
That's a great thing. Do you think, you know, one of the things that we were talking about is, do you think sometimes how we look or how, you know, like our size or where we are as far as in the lining of our family, do you think that sometimes that gets in the way how our family communicates with us or how we communicate with them or how we're
I think so. I think so more for me is because I'm not a very big person. I'm, you know, 5 foot, you know, about, you know, 100 pounds barely. And people tend to want to guide me and, you know, push me over here and, you know, tell me, well, you know, maybe you should do this, or, you know, people tend to want to give me advice all the time because for them, they feel like and I've had this said to me before in another instance, which is why I'm like, oh, okay, now I kind of get it, that it was around me defending, and I shouldn't say defending myself, but it was around me just kind of standing up for myself a little bit. And the person said, oh, wow, look at you with your little bitty self. You know, like I wasn't supposed to stand up for myself. I was supposed to keep my mouth shut because I'm so, you know, because of the way that people see me. And so, yeah, I do think that that maybe size or maybe your demeanor, or like if you've always been a quiet kind of mousy person, I think people kind of, you know, they get used to that. And there's a saying, I can't remember where I heard this, but we teach people how to treat us. And so when we've always been the quiet one or the one to let things go or just let things kind of slide by, people kind of get used to that behavior and they want to treat us kind of like children, because that's the way they see it. You know, they see you being a child that needs kind of rearing, no matter how old you are.
That's interesting. You know, one of the things that was interesting for me in my family dynamics is I always wanted to be happy. I mean, I can remember that was one of the ways I would tune out some of the stuff, some of the things that were going on in my past, in my childhood, and some of the dynamics that were going on, because there was extreme dysfunction and an everyday occurrence. So holidays, you know, it was like, why try? You know, why try to dress up what was already there? And so I never really got I didn't want to play that game. You know, I wanted to be happy. It didn't matter if it was a holiday or not. And I know that my mom was doing the best she could. I mean, she loved holidays. And so that was kind of like, oh, we're just going to, this is going to be the nice, peaceful time, you know, where everybody gets together and we can do all this and we can have this. And I wanted that to be every day. Mm-hmm. You know, I can remember I didn't want to really compromise But I loved being happy, and I loved looking for the silver lining. And I think that's where the dreamer thing came in. And I can remember sharing from that place of, you know, let's really change our life so that it can be as happy and joyful. And I would get, oh, you know, you're just being, you know, who do you think you are? You're a Pollyanny. And it was hurtful in a sense, you know. It was hurtful to say, wait a minute, you know, why denounce or, you know, deflect or criticize my feelings of where I desire to go, you know. And it was, and for a lot of years, I was really oversensitive to where I pushed them away. Because I did not want to compromise feeling happy or looking for a silver lining or being joyful into kind of like I was the Tigger and a lot of them were Eeyore, you know, and I wouldn't join them in the Eeyore energy. And so because of my behavior, my attitude, like, well, who do you think you are? You think you're da-da-da-da? And I'm thinking, no, this is why, you know. And so for a long time, I couldn't figure out how to be able to accept or allow both Eeyore, you know, Eeyore and Tigger date, you know, when you look at the show, they get along okay. How to allow both of those energies, those elements in the same space. And I think like you, Angela, I was like looking at when I just started becoming unattached to, okay, if that's the way you want to feel, I can't change that. You know, I'm just going to love you where you're at. When I started just being more compassionate, and when I also started being more that I didn't have to resist, I didn't have to like, okay, that's you know, that's for you and it's not for me. When I started listening to them from that place, I felt like I could enjoy who they were more than what their thoughts and feelings, you know, the differences between our thoughts and feelings. I thought I could just enjoy who they were. And I could kind of focus in on something that I appreciated about them without that other stuff, the differences getting in the way. And it taught me a lot, you know, my children as well. When I started having children, I started experimenting with them and how I wanted to listen not only to them, but also how I wanted them to listen to me. I started experimenting a lot with them. I felt like I had a lot of freedom, you know what I mean? Because I didn't have anybody behind me telling me how to raise my kids. And I had them in my mid-20s, so, you know, there was a span of 10 years between being 25 and 35 when I had kids. And so I had been on my own for a while, and I felt pretty grounded in that. And I didn't have to, you know, sit there and wrestle with, you know, other people's opinions on how to raise them. I pretty much had a whole bunch of freedom, you know. But it was, what was interesting was I did have, you know, moms-in-laws and other family members at times, you know, give me their own opinions about how things should be.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I mean, being very sensitive to energies already, finally learning how to work with those energies, but also being sensitive to what felt like blocks or openings, you know. That was quite a dance, you know, to just say, you know, not be attached to their resistance about what I was doing or my resistance about what they were doing, you know, just kind of moving or letting that just be as is was challenging at times. But when I come back to that love, when I come back to what do I want to experience, what do I want to experience with myself and what do I want to experience with them, and it always comes back to that love part, it was amazing that I could surrender my need to be whatever so that I could look for the highest good of all, you know, look for that resolution. And more than likely, it showed up a lot faster when I would surrender into what do I really want from my heart versus going into my head. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. That whole thing, I kind of forgotten about that for a second, but that whole thing about, you know, that was one of my things about going to the in-laws, my kids' family members' homes for Christmas and Thanksgiving. That was one of the things that I had, that it took some working for me to not react to the whole thing about, you know, well, you know, the children's supposed to be doing this, or, you know, that you, why doesn't, you know, J do this, or, you know, well, D is old enough to be doing this, so, you know, you really need to, that was a challenge, because you always, you don't want to go into defense mode and, you know, start trying to defend every, where you are, or where you are with your kids, and, you know, because that brings a different kind of energy, and then that changes, that shifts everything. But what I had to do is, because it was starting to, it really starts to affect the kids whenever they get older and they understand and they can hear and, you know, they know what you're talking about. You know, they're not like toddlers and they can, you know, they're just passing through and, you know, they hear their name, but they don't really care. I just had to sit my kids down and say, you know what, this is just how so-and-so family member is. And this is just how they are. This is how they were raised. This is what they're doing what they feel is right, and they're coming from a love and a caring position. So, you know, take it, you know, listen, do whatever you have to do with it, and then let it go, and then move on. And I had to explain that to them, and once I did, you know, they got that, okay, you know what, this is just how it's going to be. I can still love, you know, aunt so-and-so, or, you know, uncle, or, you know, whatever. I can still love them. They're still good to me. They still love me. And not have this, you know, affect them or myself and walk away from there saying, you know what, this is why I hate coming over here every this is why I hate coming over here every Thanksgiving. And, again, the last time we were with, you know, family members, it was so different. Everybody had a good time. Nobody left and got in the car and complained.
Well, this is another question that we kind of brings it up. Is, do you think that our current reality, like here we are grown-ups, we have children, and, you know, yet we also are connected to that other aspect of ourselves that grew up, all those memories are in the same space. But do you think our life experiences, the differences in our life's experiences, shape or influence how we listen to others too?
Oh, I think so. I think so, because, you know, growing up like that, you know, and then you're an adult and you think, I don't have to hear this anymore. I don't have to deal with this. And then you all of a sudden you're in that situation again, and you want to say, you know what, you know, this is what happened to me when I was little, and I'm going to do whatever I can, you know, tell off whoever I have to tell off, you know, to get them to shut up. And it does, because I've wanted to go there several times. I've wanted to say, you know what? Nobody asked you. I wanted to do that, but I'm really good at checking myself and saying, okay, so what? Where else can I go with this? Because you know what? Really and truly, when you have that kind of energy, and there, you know, you that's the kind of energy that you put on it. It's only going to come back and slap you in the face. So, you know, putting that, you know, I love you energy on it changes everything. And it doesn't, and it's not to say that you're trying to change that other person's point of view, because you're not. But putting a little love on it can change. It just changes everything.
Well, you know, one of the things, like you said, putting a little love on it, sometimes, and I read this recently, is how we formed our love about ourselves was based on outside influences.
Mm-hmm.
How we formed the love about, or even who we are, was based on outside influences. And there are things about us or aspects about us that are so buried deep that we haven't even a clue.
Yes.
Or even a connection to them, because we're so used to being and operating from the outside representation of who we think we are. You know, I mean, there was many years that, you know, I kind of just played, I mean, I really, really played in such a right brain hemisphere that to go to the logic or go to, you know, the reasoning and, you know, I was really basic intuition. And when I didn't feel comfortable with going there, you know, I would check out. So, you know, people thought, yeah, you know, you're not here, Valerie. You're kind of in Neptune land, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But part of it also was, how do you communicate with that strength, that left brain energy? You know, how do you incorporate? And I think part of it was because I was denying that part of, you know, the part of my reasoning, subject, you know, like objective reasoning, subjective. I was not utilizing those parts of me for whatever reason. And it was just, you know, the way that I was comparing myself, or based on the outside appearances or the external appearances. And I would not acknowledge that I was intellectual. I would not acknowledge those, you know, my logic. I would not acknowledge my reasoning. That was actually pretty good. I mean, I found that in my work environments, how very logical, how very reasonable, how very intellectual, you know, I use those faculties. They would come out more like that, but in my relationships, I just felt so emotional, so right-brained. And so, you know, exercising those muscles, you know, of intellect and logic and reasoning, exercising those, incorporating those assets or those aspects into my relationship, my communications, it actually served me in such a way, because I would, even though I would go to my heart, I would also seek out, you know, a way to articulate those, you know, the resolutions, and in seeking to understand what their part in the process, what was the heart of the matter that they wanted to articulate as well, find the value, the common value or the common thread that joined us beyond the differences, and that would takes part of that takes is the logical processing, and so when I started incorporating and putting those two together, integrating those, I guess you'd say, my heart and mind, and I started integrating those two spaces, it was a lot easier to communicate in a shorter period of time, you know.
Right.
I'd go around and around and around trying to find something to grasp in a logical way, and it just took stretching myself first before that showed up, you know. It took me, you know, playing in that area. And there's still times, I mean, go ahead.
I just think that because really, whenever we are, you know, at a place and, you know, when we're saying, you know, well, you know what, I'm kind of, you know, this family member does this all the time, every year is the same thing, we're kind of in judgment of that person. And so whenever you're in judgment of someone, that's judgment. Whenever you're in that energy, whenever you're playing in that, it's going to always come back the way you don't want it, because you're focusing, you're coming from that judgmental kind of energy. And I think a lot of times we think that, I'm not judging anybody. I'm not saying that they should be doing this, or I'm not saying that, you know, oh, well, look at her. Why isn't she, you know, why doesn't she leave, you know, her husband? You know, we think of that kind of form of judgment as judgment, and we don't see that whenever we're saying, you know, oh, well, so-and-so is not behaving properly, and I'm just not going to deal with them. We are in judgment of where they are. And so whenever we play in that kind of energy, we're not going to see the results that we are hoping to see, because that's where we're playing. Even though, you know, you're not intentionally doing it, but that's judgment about where that person is, and you have to kind of get away from that, because where you are is just where you are, and where they are is just where they are, without having to define or trying to fix it, if you understand what I'm saying. And hopefully we didn't lose Val again. Valerie, are you there, honey?
I'm here. Oops, I put myself on mute.
Woo!
I'm like going on and going, and then I heard you say that. Okay. So judgment can also be a barrier to true communion, true intimacy. Like one of the things that and I learned this when in coaching, doing personal coaching, not only having a personal coach trying to help me release things, but in the process is that the cliche about all families are supposed to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? That might be an illusion, because families choose to be happy or not happy, and you know, which families choose to be whatever the dynamic they want, they desire, and it comes from all the aspects and connected to the family. So when I would think that, what I would do is really work hard at seeing if I could help make everybody happy. And that was just way out of line. Not only was that not honoring where they were, but it came also, if you really want to, you know, drill down to the core, it was because I was afraid, or I was judging that unhappiness couldn't be part of the equation. That would
mm-hmm.
be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Or anger yep. would be bad.
You got to hurry up and change it.
Yeah. So,
mm-hmm.
so either I'm going to, I got to hurry up and change it. And yet, you know what? Anger served when I could use anger to get to the solution. Unhappiness served when I at least acknowledged that it was there so that I could release it and look for a different solution. And sometimes me standing up in a very angry or frustrating way and not going below the belt, but saying, you know what, I'm really angry, I don't feel honored, I feel stepped on, it paved a way for them to also have opportunity to say, you know what, I'm going to give myself permission to be angry, I'm going to give myself, and I don't have to attack with it, but I can acknowledge that it's there so it can be released.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people in LOA, we see this. People
are
creating and communicating LOA from the conditions, from the external aspects of themselves or their identities, and not from the heart.
And that you have to come from the heart. It's not about the outside. It's not about saying in your head, well, I'm going to think this way, and have your heart be in a different area, in a different place.
Yeah, because like you said, judgment, you know what? Judgment's okay to have. You can judge things. It's okay to have judgment. We assess things. We judge things. We have to check in and see if something's right for us.
Mm-hmm.
I think that word has gotten, you know, a
bad rep
on it, just mm-hmm. like, you know, anger's gotten a bad rep. But you know what? The heart of the matter is that these people, we're connected to you. They're part of the aspects of the whole of support, you know? And they may show you things that say, like, you know, my mom and dad, they weren't in a very, they didn't know how to be happy and successful where they were. There was either not enough going on or there was, you know, something. And the way they acted out was not really kind of disconnected from themselves. And yet their role-playing to me helped me go deeper. Their role-playing helped me
yes.
search for something more. Their role-playing helped me get clear about what kind of parent I wanted to be. And so they were really gifts in that from a soul-to-soul level, they were gifts. Just like my brothers and sisters right now, I have 6 siblings. And each of them, it's interesting how each of them have, you know, their own individual particular values, but each of them teach me something, not only about myself, but about them. And I'm at a lot of peace with them right now. And I thought to myself, you know, one of the things I desire in even coaching and even in this program is to start at a younger time. Because, you know, teenagers right now are all over the place. Mine were
mm-hmm.
when they were going.
Yes.
I mean, oh my gosh, they faced, you know, situations and faced issues and peer pressure. Even my 13-year-old right now is facing things. And you know what? How to help them be centered, how to help them, you know, kind of have conversations and how to get to know themselves so that they can stand in the midst of that pressure, in the midst of that, you know, teen peer stuff, it's huge. they're way more bombarded with outside stuff than we ever were.
Yes.
You know what I'm
yes.
saying? And so one of my passions is, you know, not only did I experience with my kids, but how to help my kids communicate their needs to me without me putting my own spin on them.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big, and it still is a daily practice, because I have to take, I have to listen to them openly and listen to them where they are right now and ask questions seeking to understand, rather than saying, you know what, I know better because I've lived longer and I'm your mother.
Oh my God, I still hear that. Or you know what, you're too young to have so many problems, or you're too young to
yeah.
you know, feel this. Well, oh my God.
Yeah.
Talk about slamming the door on your emotions in your face. Bam! You have no right to feel this way because you're this age.
Well, you know, energy is energy, and we kind of talk about this metaphysical being, and I, you know, I really talk to my kids about, you know, you are metaphysical beings,
mm-hmm.
and you have energy fields, and, you know, that kind of conversation isn't going around, but as I've started tuning in to where who we are is bigger than what, you know, our body is, then I can help them tune into their thoughts and their feelings when their thoughts and feelings are off, and to be able to communicate to their, you know, communicate and allow their own needs and desires to be expressed, and also to tell if you know, what they're thinking and feeling is kind of off in their body, how to really feel the sensation of that, you know, body energy, so they can become more in alignment to it.
And where a good key for that, for that I've noticed, is that when that's going on with them and they're in school, the grades.
Yes.
And it's not about them being lazy, but they're going through something, and that's the big indication that something is going on with them, is their grades will start to suffer.
Yes. You know what? And you know what sometimes it is, too? I think it's the bombardment, you know, like their hormones are going on,
mm-hmm.
their desire to be, you know, try to feel like an individual in a group setting,
mm-hmm.
Their desire to step out and think for themselves. There's all that stuff that's going on. And
yep.
and you know what? The strong desire to be fit in, the strong desire to feel loved, the strong desire to feel accepted. I don't think any of that goes away, whether we're a teenager or a grown-up.
It doesn't. It doesn't. And I right now, they are here. The kids have a week off for the Thanksgiving holidays. But you know, right now, I was talking to my son about school, and he's having issues with being at the school that he's at, because he is such a ever since he was little, he's very selective of who he hangs out with. He's very selective, and he wants to maintain friendships that grow. And where he is right now, he doesn't know how to deal with the fact that where he is, all the kids sell drugs. Everybody. He said you hear it in class, and he doesn't know how to be in that position or be in that the same space and not have to try to get away from it or try to or want to go somewhere else. He's having a difficult time with it.
So this is a great example of you know, contrast showing up. First of all, he really gets a sense, and he's very clear about his values,
mm-hmm.
and how different they are from the other kids. That was like one of the things. But at the same time, where I think it feels cloudy is how to have my values honored, respected, and acknowledged in the midst of the chaos or the contrast,
mm-hmm.
and how to attract friends that are more like me.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, be able to change his perspective of, rather than focusing on the difference, is to connect to his value.
Yep.
And move his values, you know, kind of like express them out into the space, so that, you know, the universal cosmos divine prevention can start sending him or bringing to him people that are in like values.
And not being in the fear that, well, if I don't talk to the student or if I don't want to hang around them, I have to see them every day, so you don't want to be afraid that something's, going to come up that's going to put you in a compromising position because you decided you didn't want to,
you've
been working on that.
Drugs. Yeah, yes. And I want to tell you, I can remember that. When I did drugs in high school, it wasn't because I was trying to cave into peer pressure. Part of it was because it was numbing out the pain. Of what was really going on. And so I found a path of least resistance that was probably not the best for me. But there were a couple people that I will always remember that loved me through those times. I mean, major loved me, didn't condemn where I was at, didn't point out where I was at. I mean, they really just always showed me love and acceptance. And I think that in that process where, your son can just show them love and acceptance where they are and then love and acceptance where he is, it doesn't feel as intense to be around that because he's really clear that he's not going to take that route. And that to honor that and acknowledge that is pretty powerful to be that strong,
The fact that, we he's in a new school, he's in a new area, I know it's a lot
mm-hmm.
for him to go through right now, but,
Right, and so what can he do? Where can he expand himself to, or kind of look around and see, is there other people here? How can I meet other people that feel the same way I do? And focus on asking for the universe or divine providence, to bring mm-hmm. more people like him to where he can, anticipate or focus on that. So that he's focused on the resolution, he's focused on the end result rather than being overwhelmed by transitioning from a new school, transitioning with mm-hmm. these people. And that's a daily process of, starting to acknowledge where he's at and seeing it as, okay, these people are doing this. It's not my cup of tea, but becoming unattached towards that. I think that goes back into the same thing with the holidays,
Yes.
We all have those opinions of, where we are. But I think when we love and improve and accept of ourselves first and we act from that place and we also seek to find the value within each person, regardless of our differences, I think it shifts the energy and the communication. And when we give and receive to one another, this is another thing that happens, is how you do integrate to where I'm a grown-up now, and I can think for myself, and I can feel for myself, but yet I value your input enough, I value your care, I value your input, I see that it's coming from a place that of care and concern, and yet at the same time, I appreciate that I'm able to come up with my own thoughts and my own feelings around this particular subject. You know what I'm saying? And it comes from that. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to defend who you are, where you've gone. Rather than defending it, you acknowledge it. And then you get to acknowledge where they're at, too.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
some people, I used to have a friend that used to say she was so resisting where people were that are different than her. And I used to say to her, this is a thing. You can... if your family is to the point where it causes you pain, you may need to create a boundary.
Yes.
That, I can love you from a distance, but if it's not going to change, why put yourself through that?
And then to be able to gauge where, the reason why you're leaving a situation, if you're running away from or you're taking care of yourself, because most of the time when you run away, majority of the time, when you're running away from a situation, The only thing that's going to happen is you might get away from that situation, but there's going to be somebody else or, you know, another, a friend, a boyfriend, you know, that's going to appear in your life. That's going to, when you don't clear it, when it's not clear, when you haven't cleared it up, that's going to mirror the same thing that that person or the, you know, the relationship you had with another person. They're going to mirror that same thing because you haven't healed it yet.
Yeah, awareness of why you're taking the steps that you are gives you power to choose.
Yeah.
And that awareness comes from inside yourself, checking in. Is this relationship one that I can, that I have to put some distance between? Can this relationship change or alter so both of us are coming from a winning situation? It's like you check in and you ask these questions, but you come from that place of, you know, that values, your values. You have to be very clear about your values so that you can make choices from that space,
mm-hmm.
rather than reacting. You know, when I started becoming very clear about my values, without sometimes even having conversations with other people about acknowledging them or maybe sharing them with someone in my family, our conversations were huge. And what was interesting was I had to clear up some, 20-year-old stuff that kind of floated around not too long ago. And I said, you know, where we are or where I am right now is where I focus on. I forgive and love all those places that we were 20 years ago because, you know what, there are aspects of me, but that's not where I am. I've grown from that place, you know, and grace and love are powerful tools to release and let go of those events, because those events aren't even really don't have any power unless I choose
right.
to drag them into the present
yeah.
and use them as you know, against whatever's happening. But there's only so many memories and so many balls and so many things you can juggle in a present day to take care of that, you know what? It's not self-care if you have to drag everything that you've lived from your mind and, you know, into the present moment. It's that gets really heavy and overburdensome. And the best thing to do is just check in with what do I want to resolve today and what do I want to communicate? What do I want to experience today in my relationships? And you come from that place of value. And it literally shifts the energy around. You might choose not to be. I mean, there are some people in my life I literally choose not to be with because that we are just so different. And, you know, they're just not my cup of tea. And yet, at the same time, I'm not their cup of tea either.
And that's okay.
And it's
okay.
You know, not everybody's going to like the things that you say or to like the things that you do, and that's okay, too. If you can love who you are and come from that place of being accepting to who you are, that's who you look in the mirror at every day. And so, you know, in taking a look at some of the aspects is that your family really mirrors a whole bunch of things to help you get clear about who you are. Your family mirrors, you know, the whole world in a sense of human race family mirrors things that we can get clear on. But, you know, the ties that you know, the blood ties that bind us, they're important aspects. And you can take a look and see if they're mirroring places that maybe you're neglecting or you're dishonoring or you're avoiding or denying.
Mm-hmm.
They're great mirrors to say, you know, is one sister stronger and she's, you know, mirroring or a brother mirroring strengths that I'd like to have that I'm not honoring in myself? Is one sister or brother honoring or being angry and I don't like anger, but I'm denying that I have anger, that anger can be a healthy thing? You know what I'm saying? Is one person very intellectually, you know, more stronger than I am? Is one person more emotionally connected or stronger than I am? There's just all ways that you can start saying, what is this person activating in me that I need to pay attention to? And come from that place within
yeah.
versus, you know, reacting to their stuff on the outside. But finding clarity about your values and finding clarity about what supports and honors you is going to go a long way in the communications that you have with not only family members, but every relationship you ever have.
Yep.
And they're designed that way. They're designed to be perfect mirrors of pieces of ourselves.
Yep.
And they can be beautiful, and they can be not beautiful. And both, you know, both yin and yang, both aspects are important to take a look at. You know, I believe in my experiences when I start accepting both things, the uglies and the pretties, and not labeling them or judging them, there just is what they are. It gave me the power to be more aware, you know, of what I wanted to experience on a daily basis, much greater than reacting or comparing or judging, you know, judging that it is a bad thing.
Well, I have to say that, you know, in clearing my own stuff, it's not, you know, it really isn't always pretty to look at, you know, but and sometimes it can be painful to look at, but you know, for me, because you know, it's really important for me to be able to grow and move on and get past things that have gotten me stuck. You know, there's no choice. You know, I mean, I have a choice, but there's no other place. There's nothing else I would rather do than to get through it. But it can be really, really painful to have that stuff come up, you know, and surface and release it, and then you know, in the midst of it, saying, okay, this is how I feel today. I'm feeling horrible. I'm afraid. I'm terrified that I don't know what's going to happen, you know, tomorrow or, you know, in the next 5 minutes, because all this stuff is piling up on me. And, you know, right now this is just where I am. I'm afraid. And not saying, you know, not having to try to get away from that emotion and say, okay, because when I first started to understand about the law of attraction, that's what all I heard from people was, you have to get away from that emotion. Get away from that. Don't stay in that. But how do you get away from how you're feeling in the moment? How do you not acknowledge how you're feeling? And then, because for me, acknowledging how I'm feeling and acknowledging where I am in the moment is the way for me to move to the next step. Not stuffing it down inside me even deeper and saying, you know what, I don't feel that way. That's not how I feel. I'm going to feel this way. Because if you can say it in your head, but when it's not in your heart, you can't move.
Well, definitely to me, and yes, you're right, you can't move. The thing that I've always, always experienced greater expansion is the acknowledgement. The acknowledgement releases it, actually. A lot of people don't realize that when you say to yourself, I'm fearful, I'm sad, I'm grievous, I'm mad, I'm angry, that moment that you acknowledge it, it dissipates the intensity. I mean,
yes.
You can try it. I'm anxious, I'm guilty, I'm whatever. But there's a message that those feelings, and not only that, you're feeling something. You're feeling something.
Yes.
It's not, you're not dead, you're not robotic, you're not the wall. You know what I mean? You're feeling something. Appreciate feelings. Appreciate that there's movement. It's energy in motion. It wants to be surfaced up. It wants to dissipate. But feelings give you the desire of change. Feelings give you opportunity to take a look at what's wanting to be spoken, what's wanting to be addressed. Feelings are a powerful, powerful energy. And when we start embracing that all of those feelings are there, and they connect, and we really want to connect to them and say, you know, what do you want to say to me? What are you wanting to say? What are you wanting to tell me? When you start asking those feelings what it wants to share, I can guarantee you, you're going to start getting thoughts. I want to be acknowledged. I want to be honored. I want to be something. It will come. And you can shift your perception of the way. I mean, all the things that I experienced when I was younger, you know, they were changed because I acknowledged that. We're about 18 seconds, 16 seconds from our end.
Yeah.
So appreciate you, Sun Love and Gypsy Paige. We appreciate you listening in today, as well as our other listeners. Let's see, our wrap-up is going to be, we're going to talk about open listening from the heart in all relationships next time. It'll be on December 6th at 2 o'clock Central. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate and love you, and happy, happy holidays with
happy
your
holidays.
Family members, whoever those look like. Have an awesome day, guys. Bless you, and remember, who you are is more important than anything that you wear or do in the world. God bless you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.